Imagine pastoring the descendants of real-life pirates. That's what Titus faced on the island of Crete. In Paul's letter to Titus, he doesn't tell him to make the people feel good about themselves or just go along with the culture. Instead, Paul challenges Titus to appoint elders who will hold firm to God's word and confront false teaching. Well, guess what? Our culture has the same need. Wouldn't you agree? Keep listening to learn more.
Many people today, including pastors and church leaders, seem to think the church's role is to make people feel good about themselves, to reassure them that they're okay just the way they are. So sermons are more cheerleading than life-changing. Well, let me tell you, that's far removed from what the Bible teaches, as we're going to see as we set sail today for the little island of Crete. Now, this island was originally settled by pirates, and you can imagine how challenging it would have been to pastor churches among the descendants of pirates. Well, Paul is writing another pastoral letter. This time he's writing to a man named Titus, a ministry colleague. I want to point out that Titus follows 1 and 2 Timothy in your Bible. However, Titus was actually written between 1 and 2 Timothy. Paul, at this point here, is still free to travel some. He'll soon be back in prison where he'll write 2 Timothy. Now, Paul's greeting here in chapter 1 of Titus is a little longer than in many of his letters. He writes here in verses 1 through 3, "Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, and at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Savior." Now, Paul effectively reveals in these opening verses four passions in his life. And I think these ought to be the passions of every pastor and every church leader today. First, Paul reveals a passion for the faith. The definite article here, the word the faith, indicates that Paul is referring to the entire body of doctrinal truth. Second, Paul is passionate here about the elect, God's people, that is the church, and Paul has given his life for the well-being of the church. Third, he's passionate about the truth, that is understanding it, applying it, conforming our lives to the truth of God's word. Then finally, Paul is passionate about the assignment God has given him as a church leader, namely to preach the gospel of Christ. Well, with that, Paul personally addresses his letter to Titus. Titus is a co-worker who's traveled with Paul in the past, but now Paul is giving Titus a job to do. And I got to tell you, this is not an easy job at all. In verse 5, Paul writes, "This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you." Well, evidently, sometime during Paul's brief release from imprisonment in Rome, he and Titus had traveled to this little island in the Mediterranean region, and Paul left Titus there to continue the work of organizing these churches, and specifically to appoint qualified elders to lead these new churches. Now, just think about it. Imagine showing up at an established church, and after spending some time with them, deciding who was qualified to lead. Well, that would mean promoting some men to that office and perhaps demoting others who were already leading in the church. It's going to take some pretty thick skin on Titus's part to put the right men into place. Now, to help Titus make the right decision, Paul gives him a checklist of qualifications for these church leaders. Paul refers to them here in verse 5 as elders. Other New Testament terms for this office are overseer and pastor. All three terms, beloved, refer to the same office, the same man, while highlighting different aspects of this office of elder, pastor, teacher, overseer. In today's church, there are all kinds of hierarchies and levels of authority and political structures. The church often looks more like a business than a body. But in the New Testament, there was one office of leadership, and it was to be occupied only by these qualified men. So the question is, what are the qualifications? Well, Paul gives us the list here, beginning in verse 6 all the way through verse 9. Now, we covered this list of qualifications back in 1 Timothy chapter 3, but Titus has a few unique qualifications that are added to the list. The first one appears here in verse 6, where Paul writes, "His children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination." Now, I got to tell you that this qualification here has created quite a debate in church history and to this day. Does this mean that an elder's children will come to faith in Christ or that they have to become Christians? And I would ask the question, at what age would this have to happen? Well, the answer to the debate to me is very simple. It lies in this little adjective, pista, which can be translated actively as believing or passively as faithful. In other words, it can be translated to refer to believers or to those who are behaving. And by the way, this little word is used both ways in Paul's letters. So which is it? Is Paul saying here that an elder's children have to be Christians in order for that man to serve, or do they have to be under control? Well, frankly, the only way to determine the meaning of this adjective here is the context. And the context is not about believing, but behaving. Let me just say that every qualification in this list is the elder's responsibility to achieve. You ever thought about that? But the salvation of his children is something he can't control. That's not under his power. Even though all godly parents pray for the salvation of their children, only God gets the credit for their salvation. So the issue here, as it relates to an elder's qualification, is not the belief of his children, but their behavior. The issue isn't the children's salvation, but their submission to the authority of their father, and I would add their mother as well. Interpreting it this way would then correspond perfectly with the list in 1 Timothy 3, where verse 4 says, "The elder is to manage his own household well, keeping his children submissive." Now, you might do as I've done and write in the margin of your Bible here in Titus 1:6, next to "his children are believers," you might write the words, "his children are behaving." Now, does that mean that little Johnny is a perfect angel? Well, not at all. Paul indicates here in verse 6 what misbehaving is going to look like. He writes that an elder's children must not be open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. Debauchery is a New Testament term used for drunkenness at idolatrous parties or festivals here in the first century. The word here for insubordination refers to breaking the law without any regret. Well, let me tell you, this isn't a 3-year-old or a 13-year-old misbehaving. This is an older child still living in the elder's home over whom he should subject his authority, and this older child is being allowed to live, frankly, a very wicked life. And that will effectively disqualify the father from becoming an elder. Now, here's another qualification that's unique to Titus here in verse 7. "For an overseer must not be quick-tempered." Now, this refers to somebody who lashes out in anger. And an elder is going to deal with difficult situations and difficult people. So does he respond by lashing out in anger? Or is he a bully? Does he push people around verbally or emotionally? If so, he shouldn't be an elder. Well, down here in verse 8, there are three more qualifications found only in Titus. It reads, "a lover of good, upright, holy." In other words, he's a good man with an honest life who wants to walk with God. Now, a final qualification here in verse 9 is that the elder must hold firm to the trustworthy word. Simply put, he needs to love the Bible. He needs to read the Bible. He needs to study it and believe it and obey it. That's because he's going to need to confront false teachers. Here in verse 10, Paul describes these false teachers here on the island of Crete as insubordinate. They're empty talkers and deceivers. Verse 16 says, they profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. Well, let me tell you, these are some pretty strong words, aren't they? Listen, being an elder isn't a game. This isn't like picking up golf and playing, you know, whenever the weather's nice and you feel like it. No, this is a calling to frontline duty, guarding, guiding, feeding, correcting, leading the flock of God entrusted to elders, to church leaders. It'll never be easy. Frankly, our culture today is still acting as if they descended from a bunch of wild pirates. And some churches can act the same way. But elders are never to act in that way. Elders are called by God to pursue godliness. Well, these qualifications. And we all, congregations and church leaders, are ultimately following the one who modeled all of this perfectly, our chief elder, our chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. Well, with that, we're out of time for today. Until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. Today's lesson is called Pastoring the Descendants of Pirates. In Paul's letter to Titus, he outlines the high standards required for church leaders, standards that are about more than keeping people happy. Elders must be men of integrity, holding firmly to God's word, ready to confront false teachings and guide the church faithfully. Leading a church isn't a popularity contest. It's a sacred duty. It demands commitment to God's truth, even in a culture that's far from perfect. It would really encourage us to hear from you. We'd love to know how God's using this daily Bible teaching to equip you in your faith. If this program is helping you grow, let us know. There are several ways you can reach us. Our email address is info@wisdomonline.org. You can call us at 866-48-BIBLE, and I hope we hear from you today. I also hope you'll join us next time on this wisdom journey.